Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio Battle Lines. I am Tower, and we are glad you joined us. Warn Radio Battle Lines broadcast is not a call-in show. We feature an in-depth Bible study each week. All inquiries and correspondence of broadcasts of the WIBR Warn Radio Network can be sent to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. Today is the Thursday, the 24th day of October, 2019, and our scripture reading for this week is Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through chapter 6, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 5 through chapter 43, verse 10. And the New Testament portion is Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through chapter 2, verse 23. And also John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Take time to read the pertinent articles by the Watchman and pass them along to your family and friends. These are really important articles concerning the days in which we live. And this week, we're featuring the Son of God, Kingdom Served, Kingdom Come. The Son of God suffered without the camp on Golgotha. Today, the same Son of God reigns. He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. For those who are called, we are reminded that if we neglect so great a salvation, how shall we escape? The world shall pass away, and all that is therein, to which shall you aspire? Also, America, shadows of misdirection. In America, we find this has been pushed to take your attention from the real issue at hand. This nation is being brought to the brink, will be the case for either remaking America or restoring this great erstwhile nation. It is a battle where America is caught in the shadows of misdirection. So you can go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com to read those articles and also listen to our shows. You can listen to the shows on Visions on Blog Talk, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk, on iTunes 1 and 2, Warn Radio on iCast. The show videos are on Facebook and Google Play Music. We're also on Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn. And you can find us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram, and Twitter. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, really good. What's going on? Anything fun?
Well, you know, I was thinking about that ad you played, the show ID, you know, where I walk in. Yeah, those are my tap shoes because I'm always tap dancing around. When we start talking about America and talking about how nutty they are in Congress, you have to dance around and tap your way through it. You know, I need to put on my army boots and just walk on over them. But,
yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Well, you know, that little boy, you know, that his mother wanted to make him start taking, what is that? Hormone something or others?
Hormone blockers.
Yeah.
And something else.
Well, at any rate, the governor got involved and Cruz got involved. And, well, at any rate, the judge ruled that the father would have equal say-so in what happens to the boy.
Good.
So I don't know if that solves the problem or not. Because
I don't know if it will either, but I think, go ahead.
Well, in the article, it says that, you know, when he's with his mom, he dresses like a girl. And with his dad, he dresses like a boy.
And when he's with his dad, he doesn't want to dress like a girl, even given the choice, from what I understand. Yeah, his mother wants to give him puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones.
Well, he may be just trying to please his mother.
Yeah.
She needs to get her head out of the proverbial toilet.
That's wicked. It's evil.
You know,
what she's trying
you
to
know,
do.
You know, old
it's
Pocahontas.
And irresponsible.
It is. You know, old Pocahontas. You know, oh, what's her name that has the Indian blood that everybody was.
Warren. Elizabeth Warren.
Well, you know, I was raised flat dab in the middle of an Indian reservation. And, you know, she gives good Indians and even the bad ones a bad name. Because, you know, she just is so far outside of common sense and the law. You know, she was... you know, and of course, Bernie is beating her, and he's not much better because he's a socialist. But see, what people forget is this, including the Democrats. We have a constitution. We have millions of Americans that, number one, use guns. Number two, don't want to go to socialism. And number three, we have got a constitution. We have a Supreme Court, and we have plenty of people that can stop any nutcase president from just, you can't just sign legislation like Trump does and like Obama did to take away guns. That is going to get nowhere.
That's right.
It's got to be legislated. It's got to then go against the U.S. Constitution. You know, well, I'm going to take the guns away. And then Beto O'Rourke, you know, that he's about as crazy as the rest of them. He was saying a bunch of stuff, too, about all that. You know, what's with the guns? I mean, Obama, remember his big shindig he was doing? Got caught up in that, what was it called? Fast and Furious, down across the border. All the guns and that border patrol officer got killed. And it was traced to the government's guns that we were giving them across the border.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that was my administration. You know, so, yeah, wow. You know.
Yeah.
Now, I don't, I seen this on the Twitter feed, which sometimes I think it's, oh God, it's just unbelievable. But at any rate, you know, the Democrats weren't very happy with the Republicans going into Shifty's meeting. So then someone was saying that the Democrats were having a sit-in somewhere in the Senate or the House or doing something. Now, I haven't verified it. I was just wondering how true that was. I mean, is that what we've come to in our Congress? The Republicans break into one because Schiff was doing things that were shifty. And then the Democrats retaliate by going sitting down. Nobody does anything. Now, you see, Jay Sekulow today was pointing out that we're 4 weeks away from government shutdown. They've got to pass. They got to negotiate with the Senate in order to provide money to keep the government running. But they're too busy running this shiftless thing that Shifty is doing. And then they're bickering between themselves. I mean, can't we get a government that actually does something?
Oh, that would be amazing if that happened.
I mean, you know, can't somebody work together? I mean, you know, all the time that they've been trying to impeach Trump, Trump has been signing bills. He has been meeting people. He's been giving out awards and medals, and he's been traveling places. He's been busy all the time. The Democrats do one thing. They go into a meeting and they plot how to bring down Trump. I mean, can't they just forget it, go to work and be done with it? But no, they can't.
And do something productive for the country?
Yeah. Yeah. For once. Well, wouldn't that be a thing? Well, we finally got productive after 3 years. Well, it's about time. You got 1 year left to be productive. And like Jay Sekulow said today, their whole goal in being productive is just impeaching Trump. That's the whole goal for all 4 years. There is no other goal. Impeach Trump at whatever costs. Impeach Trump even if you have to lie. Impeach Trump even if you have to lock the door and do it all behind closed doors without giving him the right of due process. You know, I mean, the whole thing is absolutely a constitutional disaster for the Democrats. And they think that Democrats are stupid enough to say, well, yeah, go ahead. You know, I'll tell you, I've heard more than once about Democrats leaving the Democratic Party. And there's been a river of Democrats leaving, and they're expecting. Yeah, I mean, it's just dumb. It is stupid. It is moronic. And it's amazing to me that all these men, most of which I think have a law degree and may even be lawyers. You know, I used to think lawyers were the ones you'd go to find help, but I found out some of the biggest criminals are lawyers. Well, that's what we have, is the criminal side that graduated out of Harvard. You know, and all these other law schools, these are the criminals. The good ones, well, they've got jobs and are actually trying to do something to help people. It just amazes
me. You know what's
me.
Really, what's really tragic is they're so focused on destroying Trump that they can't even see the need that's going on in their own states. And how horrible it is in their states, especially California.
Yeah.
It's just mind-boggling that they're so deluded and evil and wicked that they want to destroy a person. You know, I know from reading God's word that it's going to fall on their own head. And they're going to get what they deserve. What you sow, it comes around.
It does come around. Well, I'm going to have to get going on this, so we're in Isaiah 14.
Okay, I'll see you on the other side.
Okay. Well, we've been following Isaiah in chapter 14, and in verse 5, the Lord has broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers, and the scepter, of course, is the power that represents how the rulers got the power to rule. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet, and they break forth into singing. Well, you know, one day, those who are causing the trouble, trying to destroy the earth, will be brought low. And we are at a point where in this particular song or psalm that we've been reading, although Isaiah wrote it, where we see a type of Lucifer and Satan and his destruction. It's actually they're describing the ruler of Babylon himself. But yet, you know, within prophecy and the Christian church, we have used this many times to refer to the enemy, Satan, Lucifer. And verse 8 of chapter 14, it says, yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since you are fallen down, no feller has come up against us. And of course, the whole point of this is speaking to the one that God brought down. See, when you have a ruler that has a powerful army and he's going about invading everybody and destroying anybody he comes against, the earth can't have rest. Well, the quickest way to find rest is for a ruler to die. You know, in the Roman Empire, they weren't shortage of Caesars who decided to call themselves God. And we have historical record, and you can even follow it in Fox's Book of Martyrs about some of the things that went on back then. But when you got rid of one of them nutty Caesars, you know, things kind of quieted down. When Constantine was on the prowl, when, you know, it was up unrest, and when he got defeated, it quieted down quite a bit because his three sons that were supposed to divide the kingdom, it really didn't work very well. No, it wasn't Constantine. I'm talking about Alexander the Great. I don't know if I said him. But at any rate, it's the same thing when you go with any great conqueror, just like Napoleon or whoever, or even like Hitler, when they begin to start stirring and causing war, the whole thing is just absolute chaos. But when everything is brought to an end, everything seems to be at rest. Yes, there's chaos. Yes, as far as the buildings being torn down like Europe was after Hitler and after World War II, but everything got rebuilt. So we see a time here that there is a break in all of this when we talk about Isaiah, because we were talking about the judgment. Now we're entering into this part where he specifically points to what has happened to Babylon and then to the ruler of Babylon. And that ruler of Babylon can actually be a type when we look at it, and can actually represent the devil himself. You know, the bottom line of it is Lucifer, Satan, the dragon, the beast, has many different names. The Lord called him a liar, the father of lies, and he has lied from the beginning. We have a lot of names for this dark one. He walks about as a roaring lion. But when you get into this part and you understand that a lot of this is geared to comfort the ones who went into captivity, which was Judah, who was taken captive, was there for 70 years. God was going to judge him. Cyrus, the anointed one, would come in, Medo-Persia, and would destroy, take over Babylon and take over the rule and command the Jews to go back and rebuild the temple and go back to live. And so it comes to an end, this period of judgment, and it's also the whole world becomes at rest because God has kept his word. The Lord has come. And, you know, I talk about this a lot, about the coming of the Lord. I warn people, even when I'm teaching, that the Lord is coming. And, you know, a lot of times we get caught up in this saying the Lord, you know, he's not going to come. It's going to be a while. But see, the thing of it is, it is hard for people to get this in their head that after all of these generations, since Christ came the first time, that he's going to finally come the second time. Now, we don't know the exact date, but we know from the look of what is happening, Paul's mystery of iniquity, the lawlessness that he describes in 2 Thessalonians is at its fullness. Matter of fact, in America, you can see it absolutely completely, because, and you can see it in our modern Western societies as well as the others, that with our technology and our know-how, we have gotten to the point where we can break just about every rule, every law that God has ever commanded, everything he has ever created. Men now today, through knowledge, is trying to cross all these bounds where they have no business going. But that isn't going to stop them. See, this is the time of lawlessness. We have a time when we want to take little children, like we talked earlier, and make a boy into a girl and a girl into a boy before they even been to maturity, before they even know what they're understanding. These are small kids which can be influenced easily. Not to mention the fact most of these parents probably never took their child to a good, godly church, one whose pastor is anointed and preaches the truth of the Word of God. We have raised up pagans for generations, and now in America we have paganism, we have witchcraft like never before, we have other gods of it that have entered in, and this country here is going to fall one day because we have forsaken the living God. Now, what is going to happen to the believers? Well, I got news for you. He may judge America, but he's not going to forsake his people. So, you know, you can let America go to hell if you have so mind. But I trust the Lord God because his word guarantees me that he will take care of me and my family. And see, when we look at all of this and we see what happens, we see a personal type here. We look in these scriptures and we identify. We can see within this some of the things that God does. And in this thing, we know absolutely that when the dark one arises, that's what I call him in Revelation 13, the beast, when he arises, you have 3.5 years of unmitigated tribulation. That's the worst that this world has ever seen. And then that's the end. It's over. So we know that when he is revealed, and he is does say that he's revealed, Paul talks about it in 2 Thessalonians 2. While many scholars and prophetic teachers want to break off the son of perdition from the beast, it doesn't at all break up. Paul was talking about him from the standpoint with a title of what he did, which was destroy. He was there to lead people into perdition because he is the deception that he allowed to come. And the beast in Revelation 13 reveals his roots and where he comes from, ties him right into Satan. Now, see, all of that leads you to what we're going in verse 9. And see, the thing of it is that this now is, you can imagine at the end times, when everything is over and God is judging everybody, and all of a sudden they bring up this creature. He looks like a man, but he's so emaciated and weak, and he just looks like a mess, and he stands before the Almighty. Now, let me read this. Isaiah 14:9, hell, meaning Sheol, Hades, or the world of the dead, a place, and of course, in this word from Hebrews, it also means its accessories and inmates. In English, we might see it as grave, hell, and the pit, but it's a place that describes that's where the wicked go. Now, your body, when you die, goes into the earth, but your spirit, as Paul says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth, and it has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. Now, this is the coming of the Lord. He's coming back, and he is set up judging. And all the dead and all the important people are now being brought before him. I love this. You know, and you love this because you know that today Satan is one of the most powerful, devious creatures on the face of this earth. At least that's what he wants you to think. He is going to have a time of darkness where he can rule. And he looks forward to that, but then it's going to be over. Now, see, it says, verse 10, all they shall speak and say unto thee, are you also become weak as we? Are you become like unto us? I mean, imagine, you know, whether it is the king of Babylon, who was so powerful that no one would ever dare go up against him, or if it was Hitler in his prime, where nobody would dare talk against him, or, you know, Attila the Hun or whatever. You know, there's these people that when they rule, people are absolutely afraid of them. They'll do anything they tell them to do. In Japan, it was the samurai and it was the warlord that controlled. They had warlords in various parts of Japan. And boy, you couldn't say anything. They'd lop your head off. So here's the Lord of Glory, and all these weak ones who died, and most of them had power in the earth. And a lot of them didn't. They were just normal people. And so here they're all standing around on the day of judgment, and they're all looking around. All of a sudden they see this thing. And it doesn't look like, you know, all in power and glory. It's weak and stinky and emaciated and dark, and, you know, are you also become weak as we? Have you become like us? You know, the question is one that leads you to think it can't be. And it says in verse 11, thy pomp, the pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of the viols, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. Now, see, when you talk about the grave, when you talk about Sheol, when you talk about hell or the lake of fire, they always talk about where the worm dieth not. Now, see, when you're cast into the lake of fire, you're in your spirit and you're in the lake of fire forever. Hell and death are cast into the lake of fire, and those who are in hell are cast into that lake of fire. Now, because you are a spirit, your spirit will never die. It will be in that lake of fire forever, and in your soul, because it's full of sin, will have these worms weaving in and out of your soul. That's where the fire is not quenched and the worms die not. It illustrates one of the most painful, agonizing, and eternal punishments for those who did not listen to the Lord. And for this one here, Satan, Lucifer, will be cast into the lake of fire. And all of his minions and everybody that does wickedly, that's where they will go. Now, you don't want to hear it? That's life in the fast lane. But in the slow lane, I got news for you. No matter which lane you're in, God controls everything. Whether you believe it or you don't believe it, it makes little. But there's one thing this God did for you. Through his son, he made it to where you'd never have to see this kind of a judgment. There's no reason for people that can be redeemed. You see, Lucifer can't be redeemed because this particular thing, you see, he is the one in the beginning that tried to overthrow God. He had pomp and pride way back then. And see, this now describes not only the king of Babylon and his pomp and his pride and his power, and how as an earthly king, he stands before God and he now faces for everything that he's done. And his pomp is just like everybody he used to rule. In fact, worse, because their fate is his fate, because you all stand before the Lord of Glory. Now, see, had you known Christ, had you followed him, you wouldn't have this. See, that's the irony of it. Even the Lord said in John 3:16 in the text that they won't come to the light because they love darkness better. Now, see, in this term here, Isaiah 14:2, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations. Now, within this text now, we actually see Lucifer. Now, when we talk about Lucifer, we think of Satan. Some people make him into a separate being. He's not a separate being. This is another name for Satan. He appears as an angel of light. But when you are, you know, for instance, looking at the nations of men, a lot of them can have a title. as one who appeared as a savior and an angel of light, but wound up it to be the devil himself. Hitler was one of them. And so we see that even in the rulers. But the whole thing that this is telling you, that there is a finality to everything. See, in this word, Lucifer, meaning the morning star in the sense of brightness. See, that's where we get it, and we can actually transfer this and say this is the devil himself. He definitely can appear as an angel of light, but any of his messengers can appear as an angel of light. They're not angels of light, but their end is coming. Now, you see, in Matthew 16:23, the Lord rebuked Satan, and he spoke to Peter, because Peter said something, and the words that he said actually came from Satan. So the Lord turns and says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are an offense to me, for you savor not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." And so, when we talk about it, the devil savors, loves, and likes the things of men. And that's because it's the flesh. It's carnal, secular pleasure. Not holiness in any sense of the word. Rebellion. Now, verse 12, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations." Now see, Lucifer, Satan, did weaken the nations. He's weakened a lot of them, because he brings in the opposite of righteousness. But the king of Babylon also weakened the nations, in that he destroyed a lot of them. And he lived off of them. But see, within this context, though, when we look at it, we consider more of the fact that this is dealing with Lucifer himself, because when you get in here in verse 13, it says, "For you have said in your heart, I will ascend up to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." And, you know, when we look at from the standpoint of being Lucifer, we can see him ascending into heaven and trying to exalt his throne above the stars of God. He'll actually have that chance when he is in power during his period of darkness that is going to reign and rule in the earth. And that comes because men and women in the earth have rejected the love of the truth, 2 Thessalonians 2, which is the gospel. This one will set himself up as God in the temple of God and declare himself to be God. Now, that's not a church. That is a temple, and it must be a Jewish temple in which he does it. Now, when we talk about this, it's interesting, because when you talk about a lot of the gods of the nations and what these do, the mount of the congregation, the mount of the assembly. See, when you have these people, Hitler had the same thing. The Roman Caesars had the same thing, because they had power. The power of the Roman Empire, the Roman Senate, who would cow down to this emperor who declared himself God, and the armies were at his disposal. And so you can take this in a lot of these rules like that, and for the rule of Babylon as well. And so they all have their own gods. And for this one here, "I will ascend into heaven," he said, "in the vain disputations of pride and power," you know, in men's minds, they sit in their pride and their power, and they serve their own gods. They give the power to their own gods. Matter of fact, in dealing with Habakkuk's messages, he deals with this fact that the ones who were invading where Habakkuk was going to be would attribute their ability to destroy anybody that they want to their god. And so this is common when we get to that. And when you look at Islam, Islam follows the same manner, because most of the strong kingdoms were all ones of pillage and war. It's the god of war, god of pillage and raping and taking what you want. And so the issue, and we find the Old Testament in places where the Lord says, go ahead, see if your gods can stop me, can stop my hand. Well, that's ridiculous. None of them are going to be able to, because all of these in history that we can talk about are all gone. The only one that isn't gone yet, and that is Satan, who is still there, still deceiving the nations. And when he finds some turkey that wants to be a king or a god and has all the right stuff and at the right time, he'll lift him up. See, I'm a firm believer that Hitler was an attempt by Satan to bring in one of his rulers ahead of time just to test the waters to see if it was time. And of course it wasn't time. He was too early. He doesn't know time. He just knows rebellion, but he is there all the time looking for an opportunity to destroy. And that's what he's doing in America. He's been working on America ever since it began. And one of the biggest things that he does in any society is destroy him from within. And he destroys them through a lot of their own means. He infiltrates, for us, the Bible schools, the seminaries, or cemeteries as I call them. He infiltrates the schools and the government, and he begins to work on a generation a little at a time, bringing them further away from the Lord. So by the time he's done, after about three or four generations, you have a backslidden generation. And if he gets enough of them, he can get them to do just about anything. And right now, we have a whole plethora of backslidden and generations of people that totally really don't know who the Lord God is, nor his son. They've heard the name of Jesus. They've heard Christianity. They have heard gospel songs until they're sick of it. These are people that live in our country that absolutely cannot contain themselves when they have hatred for the Christian church and for what we represent. We find the same hatred in many of the nations where we are reporting the advocacy for the persecuted church. People are afraid of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and of his son, Yahshua, Jesus Christ. They're afraid because they know, like over in Pakistan, that there's a lot of ex-Muslims who become Christians because God, through Jesus Christ, has delivered them. Same thing in when we get into India. The Hindus don't want them converting any more Hindus in China. They don't want them converting any more Chinese to look to the Lord God instead of the communist church. It's common all over the world. If there's a common thread of fear, they fear this God, while at the same time they stand up and dare him. Now see, this is the essence of who Lucifer is and what this thing is saying. God is bringing it down. And see, so the prophet is bringing to Israel at this time, Judah, he makes the case about the king of Babylon. And you see, there's this little thing within the king that, you know, you have this power and this authority. And, you know, if you go into the Hindus, for instance, there's some mountains a little north of the Himalayas which are sacred. You know, they have a lot of things sacred over there and where they put their gods. But see, people like to give this power to their gods. But the bottom line of it is, there is no one higher, because we know the Most High God. And that is what Isaiah is getting across to him, that God has brought down Babylon and the king, although he sat as a god, although he contacted his gods, although he gave power to his gods, attributed all the power that able to conquer and pillage to his gods, yet he has been brought down, his nation has been brought down, and they're all going to stand before God on that day, and the people around will look at him witness and say, are you he who destroyed the nations? You see, we're all going to have that. Now, see, you may not understand when we talk about judgment here, but on that day of judgment, God is going to have witnesses. And the witnesses will be the flood of the redeemed that are going to be there on the day of judgment as God judges individually every person that has done. And the ones that he transgressed against, God will know and will bring it up, but the testimony will be of those that they have offended and things. So God will bring out every death, everything that's been done, everything will be uncovered, and it will be known by everybody there and the ones who are witnesses. If someone killed someone of yours, and on the day of judgment, he stands there, he's never repented of it or nothing like that, and God convicts him of it, you will be that witness. Yes, he's the one that killed my, whatever it was, my friend or whatever. He's the one. God knew it, but you're the witness. You see, you'll know this stuff. You think God's going to let all this stuff go? You think he's going to allow the blood, especially of a lot of the Jews and many others who have suffered? Now, you see, the Kurds was in the news. They have a case to grind against the Ottoman Empire. A lot of them over in that area did, because the Ottomans have a lot of blood on their hands, and Erdogan is a number one Ottoman-inspired. That's what this guy wants to do. Make no mistake, Erdogan is not for peace. He's only for peace until the right time. This is a guy that wants to establish his own caliphate, and it's the Ottoman caliphate that he wants to do. So make no mistake. But see, all of the blood that they're responsible for, all the blood that the Nazis were responsible for, all the blood that China, especially now that they're closing churches and doing everything, every mass amount of blood, little bit of blood, the people that are getting killed and murdered on the streets of America, every ounce, every trace, every person, every soul, every body will stand before this God. And he is El Elyon, the Most High. This relates to elevation. This relates to there is nobody higher. There is no other God that can deliver you out of his hands. He is the one that is the great I am. I have always been. There was never anybody before me, and there will be nobody after me. And I will hold you accountable, for I sent my only begotten Son to die on the cross for your sins. And if you wanted to be holy, you could be holy. And if you wanted to be wicked, you could be wicked. Because I want people to serve me for what? Out of their love of their heart. But you did wickedly, and I will hold you accountable. You see, these people that are standing, and this is what Isaiah is telling them. Yeah, they're going back. It's and even the temple wasn't as big, but it's a big deal. God fulfilled his word, brought them back. And God is not done with Israel. But see, he's given promises to all of us, including Christians. He's coming back. He's coming back for a reason. Vengeance is mine. But not only vengeance, reward is mine. You think he's coming back just to do vengeance? He's not coming back to do vengeance. Do you think he brought down this pompous Babylonian dictator, or brings down this pompous Lucifer? just because that's all he has to do. No, he wants to redeem you. He wants to save you. He wants to build a kingdom of righteousness, and that's going to be on this earth. His throne is going to be here. We're going to dwell with him and among him. What do you think he's going to do with Mars and all the other planets? He's not going to destroy them. You're going to have such a wide open space. It's going to go on forever. Everything that he's going to be creating for his beloved, there will be nothing like it. Nobody can understand how great it's going to be. But I'm going to tell you here today that it is more than you can even begin to think about. So today we have witches casting spells again on Satan, and the day of judgment, if they don't repent, it'll be the worst day of their life. This is nothing but a bunch of pompous hocus pocus that a Christian fasting and prayer in Jesus' name can break. Isaiah 14:15, and this is what it says. Satan said in Lucifer here, Satan, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I'll be like the Most High. See, he's the word there is Most High, El Elyon, the Most High, the Supreme God. I will be like him. No, you're not. What does it say in John chapter 1? He went to his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as did receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You know why the Jews wanted to stone him? Because he made himself like God. He said he was the Son of God. See, in the Jews, when he said that, that was tantamount to blasphemy. But see, the Son of God said, I am the Son of God. Now, see, someone said he never says that, but you got to look that when he spoke, my words are spirit and my words are life. In the same way that he said, drink my blood and eat my flesh, those words were spirit and life. It means that when he dies on the cross and gives his body and sheds his blood, you literally eat that by accepting it. See, when you eat the bread represents his body. When you drink the wine, it represents his blood. It represents what he did. Matter of fact, in all of that, he never tells you once to remember his birth. He tells you to remember his death, and he remembers it through what we call communion. But see, the Jews wanted to kill him because he made himself as God. Yet in John 1, what does he tell you? If you receive him, he'll give you the power to become the sons of God. That's who he already was and is. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, Scripture says. So on the day of judgment, you stay in Christ, and on the day of judgment, guess what? It's going to be a good day for you. I mean, it's going to be real good. Do you think you're going to be weeping over the fact that Lucifer's trotted out, the devil's trotted out, and all of his soldiers? I got news for you. They're going to be shadows of themselves. And this is what it says. Yet you shall be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake the kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? Now you see, Babylon did that. They were just one kingdom. Hitler did that. Alexander the Great. And many other conquerors. But see, this is one of the biggest. This guy was going to go above the throne of God. And the king of Babylon very well could have had the pride of Satan, thinking indeed that he was going to rule the world and God too. But see, there comes a time, you know, in our neck of the woods, if you're up hiking and stuff, up high in the mountains, in the old days when I was with my dad, and we did a lot of this way up, you could drink the water without no problem. Fast moving, high mountain water. We had a cabin that had a fresh spring, mountain spring, ice cold, crystal clear. But yet, when you look in other places, you might find water that's a little muddy. If you wait a while, the water will become a little clearer, and the mud will settle to the bottom. You see, here in the river that goes by us, there's a lot of that when it's really muddy, and the next day it looks real nice. You see, the waters are muddied today by the devil. But when God comes, you're going to see clearly. Paul says we look through a glass darkly. Well, the devil wants the world to look through a real dark glass of smoke and mirrors, especially. He will do anything. He will say anything. He will initiate anything. He will literally stop at nothing to send your soul to hell. But see, when the Lord redeems us, you know, the Lord said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's all he said. Resist the devil. You know, why should the devil bother with you if you're resisting him and rebuking him? He's got a lot of sinners that could care less and would love him. And a lot of these demons that are around, especially the ones that like to give you bad thoughts, you need to start rebuking and binding these things too, because they don't like to be rebuked and bound in Jesus' name. They don't. But see, Christ died on the cross to give you the power to live above it, not live in it. In verse 18, all the kings of the nations, even all them lie in glory, everyone in his own house. That is, you know, when you're royalty. Look in England. They got kings. Well, they got a queen up there now. She's pretty old, but, you know, she lives like royalty. They all do, you know. And, of course, in America, we've got people that are filthy rich, and they do live in glory. It's beautiful, but one of these days, everybody is going to stand before this God. Verse 19, but you are cast out of the grave, out of thy grave, like an abominable branch, and as a raiment of those that are slain and thrust through with the sword, that go down to the stones of the pit as a carcass trodden under feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. Well, you know, especially when you look at a lot of these people who were former warriors, some of them who are really bad. Look at Hitler. I mean, he disappeared. Some say he made it out alive. But the bottom line of it is that the grave is not the last stop. Yeah, you can, you know, they lived in glory and reigned in power. They're used to conquering and living and enjoying everything that they can enjoy. Eat, drink, be merry, and sex all you want or whatever it is. Well, in the grave, you can't do that. It's all over. And see, the grave is not the last stop. You know, your bones go in there. Your flesh goes in there. And the earth will eat you up eventually. You will decompose. Even if you're in those fancy caskets, eventually the earth will reclaim. And even if you're still in that casket on the day of judgment, the earth will be burned with fire when it's being remade. Even Peter says that the earth will be consumed in fire. What manner of person should you ought to be in all matter? of holy conversation. He's not talking about talking. He's talking about walking. Because on the day of judgment, God is no respecter of person. You're either in Christ or out of Christ. And here, when it comes to the judgment, the children of Israel, they were slaves and servants, and then all of a sudden they weren't. The one who was holding them down was there, and then all of a sudden he wasn't. Babylon was there, and all of a sudden someone else had taken it over. And all of a sudden you had a king telling you to go rebuild the temple, go back to your home. You're no more servants. You've been freed. Why? Because God kept his promise. And this same token, Peter reminds us, the apostles all tell us how faithful Christ is. He's not going to forget. He's not off sleeping. And the nations are going to fall, but his kingdom will remain forever. And you know, you might think that when you're someone like this and you've ruled great and you're renowned and they give you a great big send off, that it really helps you, but it don't. You're just as dead as a fence post at that time. The only thing that's real is where you, your spirit wound up, your soul wound up, and you're not liking that if you didn't know the Lord. If you didn't walk in righteousness and follow him, then you're as they say, you're screwed. You're screwed, glued, and tattooed. That's it. No more. Finished. And all that fancy parades, all that fancy maneuverings, all your priests that serve this false god that are crying and weeping and saying how great you were, and even the idol that they put up to represent you and all the stuff they do, they build you a tomb or whatever. That's what the pharaohs did. And they would even slaughter the servants and the people who dug it in order to keep it quiet and threw them in. Guess what? They're still just as dead. Dead is dead, but your spirit lives. It is given unto man to die. Once to die, and after this, the judgment. That's known as the second death because your body is already dead. The first death is your initial disposition of this body and dying in this flesh. The second death is when your spirit is going to be judged for how you lived in this life. And I got news for you. Satan can lie, and his minions can lie, and they can act like they're going to rule everything and be there forever, but they're not. This is the deception that God is allowing on the earth, because they have rejected the love of the truth. John 3:16, for God so loved that he gave his only begotten son. And of course, his son so loved the father and loved us that he came. So when we get down to it, this particular thing comes to an end. Father, thank you for your word. Bless your people. Watch over them, Lord, and keep them and teach them and encourage them in Jesus' name. Okay, Tower. So we're running kind of short, but we are glad that you joined us. Tara, Tower.
Anyway, good night, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We love you. We pray for you. May God richly bless you in your service of the King. Good night, everybody.
Well, we're glad you joined us. We got to go. Shalom, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.